Welcome to Get Uncomfortable, a show where we explore the process of becoming familiar with challenges, changes, and setbacks, and turning those into fuel and opportunities in your life. I believe the life we are searching for is found by going through discomfort and embracing it, not by choosing the path of least resistance. Listen in and enjoy conversations aimed to help you improve your life, overcome setbacks, and build a community that can rise together. Enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Get Uncomfortable. I am your host, Shay McMaster. I hope everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend with family and friends and wonderful food. I hope you got to enjoy that. I hope it enriched your life a little bit. I hope you are coming back a little more rejuvenated and ready to go leading into the new year. And on today's episode, I think we have something that will help you do that as well. We have a special collaboration episode. I did this with Matthew Moran from the Next Milestone podcast. We co-hosted the episode. We are going to put this episode out on both of our podcasts. So make sure you check out his podcast, the Next Milestone podcast. Great show. He's really into running, so he's your running guy for sure. We had some technical difficulties getting our microphones and our systems to kind of cooperate together on each end. So we ended up having, he just had to call in from his phone and we did it through that. So the audio sounds a little bit different than usual, than the usual guest podcasts that we have. So just be aware of that. I think it's plenty fine to listen to. I could hear him talking. So just be aware if you think it sounds a little bit different, that is why. Otherwise, it's a great episode with a lot of good information in there, especially towards the end. We kind of got into some deep stuff, and I thought that was pretty powerful. So this is a good one where you're going to learn some stuff about New Year's resolutions and why maybe people don't follow through with them and how maybe you can follow through with them, getting really clear on your why and what you need, being able to identify that and make sure that it's you that is setting the New Year's resolution, you that is setting the goals for the new year, and not you wanting to do that for someone else or thinking you kind of want it, but don't really want it when it gets hard. So good episode to learn from. I think I might do one more before the new year comes, just as a reflection on the last year, all the changes that have taken place, maybe some interesting things that I've learned, insights that I've had, things that I think might help you guys out moving into the new year. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the new year. Got a lot of cool stuff coming. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy today's episode with Matthew Moran from the Next Milestone podcast. Until then, we'll talk to you next time. Go get uncomfortable.
All right, and welcome to another episode of the Next Milestone podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Moran, and today we have Shay with us from the Enlightened Athlete podcast, and you have a business that's involved around coaching and training. Can you just go ahead and just give us a little bit of background about yourself and how you got started with the Enlightened Athlete?
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me on the show. My name is Shay McMaster. I'm originally from Nebraska, a little town called Hastings, but we just recently moved to Lakeland, Florida, like Highland City is what it's called. So I'm kind of getting used to not having winter, which is strange. My birthday is in like 5 days and usually it's like super cold and it's not cold at all. But really what I was doing in Hastings for the last like 7-ish years, I ran my own strength and conditioning facility where we'd work with the general population and we had some athletes that would come in as well. Hastings is a pretty small town. We would do weight loss, just general strength conditioning, getting people stronger. I had people, I was working with kids all the way up to, I had a couple that was like 77. They would come in and do workouts with us. So just teaching people how to get healthy. And we actually got into some meditation clinics. We did some stress tolerance workshops where we would teach people how to regulate their nervous system, either upregulate it when they need it for like an event, or be able to downregulate it if somebody's suffering from chronic stress. So we would do breath work, we did ice bath, we had sauna, we had a full-scale strength conditioning facility. I'm just teaching people how to get healthy, how to build better habits, how to live a healthier life, build more capability, and really just live a happier life overall through health. So health is the springboard. And I really like to tie in a lot of mental health with that. My wife is a mental health therapist. And I always joke that I was her first project that she invested all of her time into. And she's pretty good at it because I'm pretty much normal now. And really just teaching people how to live a better life through health. That's what we did at Enlightened Athlete for the last 7 years. And I worked in gyms all through college. I've been lifting since I was like probably 15, 14, pretty heavily. Then started getting some internships with some CrossFit gyms, and then found a gym that had some licensed athletic trainers. They were very high level. They were professional athletes, actually. So I got in with them in a town called Omaha, which is technically Gretna, and started competing with them at a pretty high level. And then also working with just such a diverse population in that gym. And just started learning the ropes of business and learning the ropes of coaching and how to be a better coach and changing people's lifestyles through daily actions. So that's kind of what I've been up to.
Gotcha. That's awesome. Good intro. And I didn't realize that your wife was a mental health coach as well. What you said exactly she did, a mental health what?
So she's a therapist. She's like she works one-on-one with clients. Yeah.
That's awesome. I agree. Like, I know you made the joke that you said that you was her first, but like, it's just it's always a constant battle for everybody to continue to progressing to the next level. And that's kind of like the theme of my podcast is like, you know, what's your next step, your next goal, your next, you know, whatever it may be. And just like encouraging others is the whole purpose behind it. And I just wanted to know, like, from your eyes, like, what is an enlightened athlete? Because that's your theme. Like, what is, like, why'd you choose that name, and how'd you get started with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually suck at naming things most of the time, and I was just thinking, like, what is it that I do? What do I want to have people define? And at a certain point, I got pretty deep into researching. I had a world religions class at this Hastings College, where I went to college, and they introduced me to Buddhism and Hinduism. And you know, I'm not a practicing Eastern religion by any means, but I just like to research it and kind of see what people are thinking out there. And I love philosophy and just getting deep into how people perceive the world. So I got pretty deep into researching Eastern religions, and enlightenment technically is what we're all aiming for in this life. Coming to God, right, is what we're all shooting for. How can we get closer to God and eventually become one with God and be freed of the suffering that is associated with the human existence? Like, suffering is just a part of life that is inherent in human existence, and enlightenment is freedom from that, right? Recognizing that attachment is the root of suffering, and getting away from attachment, being free of attachment, really, and just coming to peace with God is what enlightenment is. And then obviously it's a gym. So I was like, I want my gym to be more than just any like personal training joint on the block, right? Everybody can be a personal trainer. Everybody has weights. Everybody lifts weights. I wanted to teach people to be consciously healthy, if that makes sense. So enlightenment with athletics. So I use the body as a springboard to further spiritual development and emotional development, mental development. We just use the body as the vehicle to improve or speed up that process. So that was kind of the idea behind the name of Enlightened Athlete. Like, let's use our physical bodies, which our meat bag is what gets us through the world. That's how we perceive everything. Our nervous system relays all of the information back to our body. And then we make best guesses on that to move forward and stay safe. So how can we use the body to improve the spiritual side of things as well? And that's why I wanted to call it Enlightened Athlete, because I wanted to mend those two worlds together. Because a lot of times you think of athletes, or, you know, dudes who lift weights are just meatheads, right? Unconscious and not like thinking about the betterment of their life and the lives of their families. And not, you know, that's a generalization, but I wanted people to know that, like, hey, I'm trying to do something different here, where we're blending both worlds. That's why I came up with that.
Yeah, I mean, right on. I mean, that's pretty much like kind of along the lines that of the reason why I started mine too, is exactly kind of what you're saying. I mean, I personally don't have a business that's involved into a gym, at least not at this current time. It is something I'm kind of thinking about doing, maybe dabbling into like some personal training and stuff like that. But I guess I know that you said you've been working out at a gym in Omaha area, and that's kind of how you got your feet wet with learning how to work out and things like that. But did you get any like certifications or anything while you were there, I guess, for like working out specifically, or how did you become like into the coaching side?
Yeah. So initially, when I was in college, I went to college, I got my bachelor's degree in exercise science, and then I have a minor in strength and conditioning. But even during college, I was getting internships at local gyms and going in and working with them. Some of them were startups, and just kind of helping growing the membership and building out the program for them. And then as I progressed through, you know, I was just lifting weights on my own for a long time, and then friends started asking me for workout programs and help and this and that. So after I got my bachelor's degree, I went on and took the Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist test through the National Strength and Conditioning Association. So I'm a CSCS, and then on top of that, I also got my CrossFit Level 1 certification, and then I got my Precision Nutrition Level 1 certification. So I'm a certified nutrition coach. And then with the breathwork stuff, I also took the XPT certification. So it's a performance breathwork coach is what I am as well. And so that's really how I like started learning all of that stuff, was just getting the certifications and that extra education outside of that. And then the most important thing was like the real world experience for me. And a lot of times those certifications, if you're going to go into a gym and want to be a trainer, it's just red tape, really. Like, hey, if you have this, great. You know, you have the opportunity to work here. But where you learn the most is in the real world always. Like, you don't always use a lot of the stuff in the books. And the people that you're working with don't care about the science. They don't care about the science behind, you know, how a muscle fiber actually works, what actually causes a contraction, how ATP is generated through the mitochondria. They don't care about that. They care about like, hey, I don't feel good and I want to feel better. Or, hey, I'm fat, I don't want to be so fat anymore, right? So the real world is the most important thing. But as a good coach, you have to have a really solid technical background and understand all of the intricacies of the craft that you're trying to build upon. And then you use that yourself on the back end and give the people what they want, which is not the science. They want the trip to Maui, right? They want the vacation. They don't want to hear about the TSA lines and the bag claims and all of that, the security. They just want the vacation. So you end up learning, I did anyway, that was the most important thing, was like giving them what they want. But I have to know on the back end the technical side of it to give them what they need.
Yeah, I love that analogy of they just want the vacation. They don't want the you know, the red tape, like you were saying, and like going through the TSA lines or going through a travel agency or booking flights or, you know, whatever the case may be. That's awesome that you said that. I mean, I like putting things into like analogies that it's very simple for somebody to understand and can relate to. So I kind of really like that. And Your message behind your whole podcast that you started, also, like, why did you want to start a podcast? I find that that's it's not an easy task. I feel like a lot of people, especially me, I will say, whenever I started this, I didn't expect it to be this much work. Yeah. And it is. It's like another job, man. And so I was just wondering, for people like us that aren't getting paid, like Joe Rogan is, for example, what are the reasons that you keep going? Like, what's the reasoning behind doing the podcast for you?
Yeah, man, I just always had this drive to create something, and I still do. And, you know, I look around, and I listened to a ton of podcasts. Like, I always loved listening to music growing up. One of my teachers in high school made a joke that when I died, they were going to have to surgically remove the headphones out of my ears because I would have them in 24/7, like even in class and stuff, you know, just one in. But it just helped me focus. I always am listening to something. I listen to audiobooks all the time. And then when podcasting got really big, I was listening to podcasts like all the time. I can't even tell you how many hours of podcasts I've listened to. And I just loved the art form. I loved the long form conversation. I loved all the things that you could learn. I loved hearing great stories from people. And after I started the gym, I realized like, hey, I can only reach so many people in this town this way. And if I want to reach more people and highlight people's stories that I like and teach people things, and I just love to teach people how to get healthier, I was like, what's a way for me to put out more information? And I've realized now that I hate Instagram, I hate Facebook, I hate Twitter, I hate TikTok. Like, I hate posting on that stuff. I hate having to come up with content ideas. I hate that short form, like, oh, if you don't have the right video editor, you know. And maybe that's a cop-out on my end, but podcasting was like, it seemed the clearest route for me. And I love to talk to people. Like, when I talk to people in this format, like a long form conversation, is when I always had the best time and people would learn the most. And I felt like I'm really good at talking to people. I just enjoy doing that. And that's all podcasting is talking to someone, right? At the end of the day, that's what it is. So I thought, you know what? I've got a pretty interesting background. I've got a pretty interesting story. I know a lot of interesting people. Why not bring some of them on and kind of start to share some of my insights and my knowledge and what I run into in the world through a podcast? And I didn't know what it was going to look like or what it was going to be when I started it. I was just like, look, I love podcasting. It can't be that hard to start one. Let's start it. And I actually started a podcast before Get Uncomfortable, which is the current show I have. I called it the Enlightened Athlete Podcast. And I don't know, there's like 7 or 8 episodes. I had like a real poor quality Yeti microphone. It was just like a USB mic. It sounded awful. I didn't realize what it was going to be. So starting the first one was a good experience. It might still be up. I don't think I ever took it down. It's not great. And then I realized I had my buddy Dakota who was working with me in the gym. He was down to do one too. So I was like, look, I got a co-host. We got 2 people. Let's sit down and let's just do a podcast, man, and see what comes of it. And now I think I've done 115 episodes is where we're at right now. So over 2 years into it. But I did not realize how much work it was going to be when I first started it. It's a lot of work to do a good show.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot of research that you have to do, especially like whenever you do interviews like this. Like, you have to figure out a little bit more about that person and do a little research, and then also like figuring out what topics you're going to talk about and kind of like what's your theme message. And we kind of discussed that before we recorded that we wanted to discuss a little bit about like New Year's resolutions and how they don't work. And I was telling you about the statistic that I had found on a recent study, and I had pulled it up, and it says in fact that only 9% of Americans that make resolutions actually complete them. Yeah. And it says that 23% of the people quit their resolution by the end of the first week, and 43% of the people quit by the end of January. Why are the reasons that people quitting their goals that they say that they want to change? You know, they say they want to lose the weight, or they want to get more muscle mass, or whatever the case may be. They set themselves up a goal, or they want to start up a business, and, you know, whatever, they may want to get out of debt. Like, why do people quit their goals and go back to their old habits? And I know that you're a coach, so this is like perfect along your lines to, you know, like getting into that mental toughness.
Yeah, man, I think it comes down to, maybe, you know, and this isn't across the board, obviously, each person is individual, but people that say they want to do something, I think a lot of times they say it because they think they should do it, and typically because of some sort of external pressure. So-and-so did it. So-and-so wants me to do this. It's something that they are saying they want to do, but really inside of themselves, they don't want to do it. They don't feel the drive. They don't feel the intrinsic motivation to keep going when shit gets tough because, sorry, I shouldn't probably cuss, but they don't feel the drive to do it when times get tough, because it will get tough, right? It's easy to say, I want to lose 50 pounds. It's easy to say, I want to start a business. It's easy to say, I want to start a podcast. Like, you can just say it, right? And then when the rubber meets the road, right, and it gets tough, if they don't have the intrinsic motivation to do that, it's over, right? They'll quit at the first drop of a hat because it wasn't aligned with their personal, it wasn't aligned with them, right? It wasn't internal. It's not something that they want for themselves yet. It may be something that they do want to do eventually, but they're not prepared. They don't really want it. They're just saying they want it. And that's when it's easy to quit. When you're like, look, I don't even really want this. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, the Ram Dass podcast, and there was a quote on there. I actually wrote it down on my phone here. I'm going to pull it up so I don't mess up the quote. When he said it, it just was like, oh, that's what everybody's doing, man. Okay, so he was talking about how we live our lives based on external perceptions and external pressures. So the quote is, he said, I realized we're all running through a minefield of other people's perceptions, but ultimately it boils down to what you feel inside of yourself. And I thought about my life, and a lot of the things that I've done were to keep up with the Joneses, right? I want to look a certain way so people perceive me a certain way. I want to have a certain car so people look at me this way. I want to have this type of job so people think I'm successful or whatever that is. And I didn't even really recognize that's what I was doing. We're kind of programmed to operate that way because we're social creatures. But people aren't doing what they really want, what they really truly want inside of themselves. We're getting caught too much in doing what other people want for us instead of living our lives because there's all of these cultural and social pressures to do X, Y, and Z versus, hey, go live the life you actually want to. So if you set, you know, some sort of a New Year's resolution that isn't aligned with what you truly want, of course you're going to quit, right? Because you don't like it. And I think people have to recognize that that's okay. And then the other side of that, I know that's a long-winded answer, but the other side of that is, if you are going to say you're going to do something, you should practice doing what you say. You know, that's a skill. Like if you say you're going to do it, you should just do it. Like if you say you're going to get up at 6 a.m. every day or 5 a.m. every day, you should just start doing it. If you say you're going to take the trash out when it's full, when you see it in the house, you say you're going to do the dishes or you say you're going to whatever, help your wife or help your kids. If you say it to yourself, just practice doing it. And that's a skill that you can build. So recognize when things get tough, you're still going to do it, right? It's like building that habit of discipline. And I think a lot of people aren't pushed hard enough or push themselves hard enough to understand what it's like to do things when you're tired, to do things when you're fatigued, to do things when there's frustrations and setbacks and failures. Like you just have to learn to go through that and keep showing up each day. And that's the key. Like everything that we use, the phone that we're doing this on, the computer that we're doing this on, everything that we use on a day-to-day basis, the car that we drive every day was made by someone who was tired. There were failures, there were setbacks, right? But they just kept going. And that's a skill to practice. And I think people just like aren't used to changing their lifestyle up enough and dealing with those failures because they can't see the bigger vision. They lose picture of the sight of the vision. So it's just practicing that skill of discipline, I think, is the most important thing. And you start doing that by small actions each day and doing what you say you're going to do. I know that was long. Sorry.
No, man, that's perfect. And that's really spot on to what I wanted to talk about too next, because you brought up the analogy about like the little things and like showing up each and every single day. And, you know, I always bring up something about with the Bible into the podcast, and something I wrote down today was Luke 16:10-12. And it says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with great responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the riches of heaven? And you're not faithful with other people's things, who would trust you with the things of your own? You know, so like, yeah, that's like huge. Like you have to want it yourself. You have to, you know, go and do the work. I mean, there's no other way to make it. Like, I don't know how to like else put it. It's just like it doesn't have to be a large goal in the beginning. Like do something small. Like when I first started my fitness journey, I just told myself I wanted to run every single day. Right. So I just ran 1 mile a day for the first month and a half. And then I was like, all right, I was getting better at it. So I slowly started increasing my mileage. And I told myself I wanted just to run one 5K before the end of the year. And like, I had like completely surpassed that goal by March of this year of 2023. And I'm about to run my first marathon in less than 30 days from, well, actually 35 days from now, I think. So it's like, it's just baby steps. I didn't think I was going to run a marathon whenever I started this journey that I'm on, but it's just the fact that I kept showing up every single day and I became better and better and better and better than I was the day before. And that's the message that I kind of want people to understand, like, so many people will write down a very hard goal for January 1st, you know, like, I'm just going to quit everything. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to quit whatever the case may be, that they're going to just drop everything and change, like, at the drop of a hat. And that's not feasible for some people. It's not going to happen. You're going to give up whenever it gets hard, and it will get hard. It's not supposed to be easy. And that's where a lot of people, I feel, don't understand. They just think that they can make the quick changes because that's what everybody else wants them to do, like you were saying. So that's, like, really spot on.
Yeah, man, I think you nailed it. Like, if it was easy, everybody would be rich and fit and have a perfect life and have no challenges and setbacks. Like, it's not supposed to be easy. There would be no such thing as uncommon people if it were easy, right? Anything worth doing is going to take time and sacrifice, and that's the truth of it. I always think of, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but I listened to Andy Stumpf's podcast, Cleared Hot, and he talks about during Buds, like, the saying that they have is, like, keep your world small, right? So, like, if you look at Buds as an overall, like, I'm going to pass Buds, right? I'm going to get through Buds. That's very daunting. Like, when day one starts and you're throwing up and you can't move and your legs are on fire and nothing works anymore and you're dying and you haven't slept, like, to think that you're going to make it through Hell Week, you know, by focusing on the end, you're not going to make it. You're going to quit because your world is too big. So you keep your world small, right? You focus on the next evolution. You focused on the next time you're going to have chow. You focused on the thing that's right in front of you, getting that one thing done, and then you move to the next thing, and then you move to the next thing, and then you move to the next thing. And then 7 days later, you passed Hell Week, right? If you keep it small. So keep your world small. And I call it chunking. When I work with people on these goals, like, hey, I want to lose 100 pounds. Like, great. Let's start with losing 5 pounds. Let's start changing one habit. You don't drink any water. Let's start drinking water, okay? Don't worry about cutting out all the fast food. Don't worry about cutting out all the foods that you love. Don't worry about exercising 6 times a week. Like, let's focus on you drinking water for the next week. If you do that, we'll work on a new habit. Next week, we're going to focus on working out 2 times a week. And then we're going to work out 3 times a week. And then we're going to focus on getting more protein. Or we're going to focus on getting less fast food or drinking less pop. Like, you chunk it up like that. For most people, that's how it works. Now, there are some people, like me, I like to rip the Band-Aid off. Like, let's go 100 miles an hour and get it all done at once. But typically, you know, as we see the state of health in America, that's obviously not going to work for people. They're so far from where they need to be. You have to chunk it up and keep your world small and just keep showing up. It's nothing big. It's nothing sexy. It's nothing wild and dramatic. It's like, doing the basics right for a long time is what leads to the big changes, and recognizing that you have to show up after you fail, and you have to show up when you're tired, and you have to show up when you're sore, and you have to show up when you don't feel like it, and you just keep doing that. Yes, you're going to have an off day, right? But being able to come back to, I'm going to nail the basics again consistently for the long haul, that's where you're going to make the big changes over the run of your next 5 years, right?
Yep, I agree. And I know that you follow Andy Frisella, and you did his 75 hard challenge. So I kind of incorporated that into my training as well, and at the very beginning of the year. And I mean, I still kind of do most of the things. I just don't do every single thing every single day, right? Like, I don't journal. So, I mean, like, that's one of my downfalls. But I kind of incorporate my podcasting as my journaling, if that makes sense. Because, I mean, a lot of work goes into this, like we said, and you do a lot of research and stuff. So I kind of like make this like my journaling, I guess. Like, what I'm thinking about today may be different a year from now, and I can come back and listen to these episodes and re-reflect on what I had went through, you know. But I just wanted to see how I know you personally have done the 75 hard challenge before in the past, like I have. So I just wanted to hear like kind of how your story went with that uncomfortable state that you went through.
Yeah, dude. I'll tell you how I first heard about it and immediately didn't want to do it. So I remember it was in the house that we recently sold in Hastings. I was in the garage cleaning out the garage, and I had started listening to the MF CEO Project, which is his old podcast before his new one, Real AF. And he was talking about 75 hard, and he's like, look, if your life is not how you want it to look, it's your fault. You know, which I'm big on personal responsibility. Like, if you don't like where you're at, it's your fault. And don't blame it on other people. You got to take responsibility for that. And if you want things to be different, if you want more money, if you want a different body, if you want more discipline in your life, if you want to be more regimented, like he was talking about the program, and I heard him talk about it, and he's like, it is like climbing Mount Everest, but for your mind. It's something that nobody can take away from you once you're done with it. It's extremely difficult. That's the whole point of the program, is to learn how to deal with that difficulty. And I heard it. I heard him talking about it, and it like, the way he articulates his thoughts is, I mean, that's why his show is so big, right? Like he can articulate his thoughts and his emotions so well. It got me so fired up. But immediately my first thought was like, I can't do that. Like I had this internal fear. I always have this terrible self-doubt of like, I can't do anything. I suck at everything. Like I don't think I can do anything for that long. I know I cannot do that. That is the first thought that I had. Like I've never done anything every single day for 75 days. Like, I don't think I ever have before that. Like, I always take a break or I always fall off or whatever. You know, I'm human. So immediately I was like, dang, dude, I don't think I can do that. Like, I don't think I'm mentally tough enough or strong enough to do that. And then I kept listening and I kept listening, and it was just like this little itch that I needed to scratch. Like, ah, dude, I think you should try it. I think you should try it. I think you should try it. And then I had this girl on my podcast. Her name's Megan Borzakowski. It's one of the top episodes I've ever done, actually. And she actually works through First Form. She trains people through the app, and she has clients that she works with, and she goes to First Form often and does like these coach days. And she came on the show, and we talked. I met her through one of my clients, actually. And she was like, why haven't you done 75 hard yet? And I was like, I don't know, man. I guess I'm scared. Like I'm scared of failure. I feel like it might crush me if I fail. I don't know if I can handle that. You know, it was a fear of failure, really, is what it was. And she's like, you won't fail. She's like, you own a gym. You know all of the things. She's like, you just have to show up and get it done. Like, just do it. And if you fail, you start over. That's the whole point of the program. Like, there's no shame in failing. There's shame in quitting. And I was like, yes, that is the mindset shift that I needed. It was like, you only fail if you completely give up and you completely quit. If you fall off, that's fine. If you fail, that's fine. We learn through failure. But when you quit and give up totally and never start again, that's like actual failure. So I planned with my wife. I told her, like, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to need some support on this because there's probably going to be days or times where I can't do everything. I can't help with the kids all the time, and maybe I'll have to be out late, and maybe I'll have to get up super early. So I just kind of like, we did it as a team, right? Like I did it, and she knew what I was doing, and she was completely supportive of it, and I would have never gotten it done if she wasn't supportive of the journey. So I'm lucky that I have a very supportive wife. And so I started it, and when I started it, I was prepped. I knew the times I was going to work out. I planned all that out ahead of time. I knew what I was going to be eating. I tracked all my food. I made sure I had, you know, water prepped and ready to go every single day. And days that I wanted to quit, days that it was like, look, it's midnight and I haven't done my outside workout yet and it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, I'd be like, she's like, have you done your outside workout yet? And I was like, no. She's like, get your ass outside and go do it. That's what she would say to me. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So she helped me get through it. And I got through the entire thing. I never missed a single ounce of water. I never was a minute short on a workout. I never missed a gram of protein. I never was one word short on 10 pages. Like, I never missed anything. I was literally, I've never been that disciplined in my entire life. And because I was so committed to not failing, right? I knew that I will not give up on myself and I will not quit, even when I wanted to, when I was tired, when I was sore. It was like, look, we are getting this done. No matter, I'm either going to die or I'm going to finish this program. That was my mindset going into it. Like, I had no other options. And that was the same mentality I had when I started my business. Like, I'm burning the boats. I quit my job. I had no other income. We had just bought a house. We got married and I quit my full-time job like 3 days before we bought a house and 3 days before I quit my job and then started the business. Like, that's how it worked out. So like, that's a theme in my life too, is like that no other option. And it was like, I did it, man. It was tough. It was very difficult. But now I look back with a lot of pride that I was able to complete it. And I know I can do that now. I know I have that level of discipline. I know that if I have things I need to get done each day and it is midnight and I've been up since 5 a.m., I'm still going to get those things done because I've already done it, you know? And like, once you do it, it's like, It seems doable. What was it? The 4-minute mile was impossible until somebody ran a 4-minute mile. And now everybody, you know, tons of people have done that. And it's like they said it was physically impossible until somebody did it. So once you do it, you know you can do it. And I have a lot of pride in the fact that I was able to complete that program because it's difficult. And I'm glad that I did it, man. It was very, a very fulfilling experience for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, doing 75 hard helped me lose about, I think, right at 44 pounds, 45 pounds or so. So, I mean, it was nuts. Like, I'm a completely different person than what I was at the beginning of that challenge. And, like, the reading books that I did during that challenge was, I read Dreamlights by Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. I read, let's see, what else? David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, and his second book, Never Finished. And I also read Lone Survivor by Marcus Luttrell. Mm-hmm. And another little small book that's kind of weird. I really don't recommend it, if I'm going to be quite honest. I found it was kind of hard to read, but the reason I bought it is because it was titled Self-Discipline and How to Build Mental Toughness and Focus to Achieve Your Goals. And that's by John Winters. It's kind of like passages. It's kind of cool, but like at the same time, it's like, it's a tough read, you know? Yeah. But like really like the biggest growth that I had was through those David Goggins books, I guess, and like reading the Bible and stuff while I was doing those challenges. And it just completely flipped my mindset. And, you know, showing up daily was what made it work. And listening to your podcast and listening to 3 of 7 podcast and Andy Frisella and like just tons of different people that were pouring into me at the time while I was doing this is how I made it through as well. And that's like how you said that your wife was pushing you as well. Like I was using these podcasts to help push me or these books to help push me. Cause like I'm a single guy, you know, like I'm by myself. I live on my own. My parents are still alive and everything. I still talk to them, you know, pretty much on the daily basis, but like, it's all like me. Like I don't have anybody here to push me. I have to push myself. And so like, that was like the biggest challenge was just getting yourself to want it. And, you know, just overcoming that is the biggest thing. Now, like you said, I know I can do it because that was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I'm still kind of like doing this stuff every single day. And I know you are as well. But something that I wanted to talk about, and I know we're kind of getting short on time, so we're probably going to end off on this kind of topic right here. But the topic is like, go and get uncomfortable. And that's like your whole message that you have at the end of every podcast. You say, go get uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And whenever we first started talking, like off of emails and stuff, like we was texting some a while back, I told you that I wanted to, like, one of my goals that I had wrote for myself was to grow closer to Christ this year. And like, I'm not saying I'm done with that. Obviously that's a never ending journey, but it has tremendously grown since the beginning of the year. And I told you that, like, because of your podcast and that message, like, of going get uncomfortable, I was going to start going to church on Wednesdays. And I've been doing that every single Wednesday ever since. I told you about that, like, I don't know how far back ago it was now, but it's been months. And I think I've only missed, like, 2 Wednesdays because I had to work night shift and stuff at work. Like, some things were going on that's, like, not normal. But anyway, like, doing that helped me grow and, like, you know, get to that next point that I wanted to be at. And it just makes you feel more comfortable with yourself and like getting that extra little edge and that, I don't know, that up, like it just feels good, you know, like to achieve something that you didn't think was possible before, or like that people wouldn't accept you at because of who you were before. But you have to realize that you've already grown from that person that you was before to this new person. And so that's like something that I liked from that, from your message. But, something that I want to talk about though is in one of your episodes, I'm not exactly sure which one it is, but you talk about, your little girl was like walking with you on a ruck run or something like that. I think you said you have like family ruck runs or walk mm-hmm. with the dog maybe. Yeah. And, she said that she was getting tired, right? And you told her that we don't stop when we get tired. We stop when we're done. And I feel like so many people just get like exhausted mentally, or let's say like their legs start to hurt, so that it makes their mind weak, right? And then they just like, they want to start shutting down. And that's this next thing is like, no one is going to come to save you, is how I think about this. And Chad Wright, who's a Navy SEAL as well, but he has the podcast 307 podcast, and I'll recommend it to anybody. It's pretty religious based, but it's like real world information, and they're kind of like goofballs in it too. Like, so I mean, you have to kind of look past some of that, but like, it's like a real like talk. Like, I mean, it's just like common people. Like, don't go in there expecting to be like, you know, like very professional, like guided help. Like, you have to take everything worth a grain of salt. Like, you know, like do your own research and things as well. But what I want to talk about is he has this program called the Rite of Passage. And that's pretty much this course that they bring in a group of people into the woods for 24 hours. And all they do is walk, run, you know, like talk amongst each other, no phones, and you can't sit down. That's the whole point of the challenge, is just to like let your mind break pretty much. Cause like, if you really think about it, like standing up for 24 hours without sitting at all, it's pretty hard. Like, you probably realistically, every person only probably stands like around 10 minutes per hour throughout a day commonly. Cause most people have desk jobs, or if they do have a field job or whatever, working on their tools, they still have a break at some point. And you know, they go sit down for lunch. Like, you don't get that. Whenever you eat on this challenge, like, you have to stand up while you're eating, you have to drink while, you know, while you're walking, like there is no stopping.
Yeah.
And, he brings up a story to get to the point. Is one of the guys like, man, I'm tired, I can't take another step. And he plops down, lays down on the ground in the middle of the woods. Right. And, Chad's like, okay, well, you can sit there all you want, but you still have to walk 4 miles out of these woods because nobody's coming to save you.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, like that hit, you know. And guess what the guy did?
He got up and walked
4 miles out of the woods. He had no other choice.
Yeah.
And that's like, so many people are at that point mentally, like they get tired. They don't want to do the work anymore. And they think that they can't go any further, but if you just demand more from your body, you can go the extra. Dude. And that's like that message. And like, you need to carry that over into the new year. And like, having that mental edge is going to bring like the whole mental toughness that you need for that challenge to like happen.
Yes. That's where the growth happens, right? Like, and I always say, don't even wait until the new year, you know, like, do it tomorrow.
Correct.
Why are you waiting? Stop waiting. You're living your life. We have a limited number of days, and like, don't waste them. Just start. No one is coming to save you. Fine, lay down and die and give up, but don't complain when your life sucks. Don't complain when you don't like where you're at. Don't complain when you're not providing for your family. You know what I mean? Like, you can lay down and die, yes, and then you're done. Right? It's over. But you don't have a vote anymore. You don't get to complain about anything in your life. Like, it's up to you to change that. And that's what, like, I've been that person, you know, that was like, when things got tough, when I was a kid, dude, I would just quit. I would just quit things. And that's why I feel like I wasn't always a good athlete. I wasn't always in shape. I wasn't always a positive thinker. I was an extremely negative person when I was growing up. And I was met with negativity at every corner because I perceived everything as terrible and out to get me. And like, dude, and I just want to say, like, congratulations to you for living that life. Like, you decided that you were going to start going to church every Wednesday, and you did it. You got uncomfortable. That was something that was uncomfortable, right? That was like something new. It was something that was taking up a chunk of your schedule. It was not super convenient. It's not what you were used to. And you did it. So you, like, you are an example of doing that. So I just want to commend you for doing that. And dude, it's true. Like, I told Quinn, she's my 4-year-old, she, you know, we would walk and her legs would get tired. And it's just like, I'm just trying to get it into her head. Like, don't quit when you're tired, quit when you're done. It's okay to be tired. It's okay to be exhausted. It's okay to be frustrated and depressed temporarily. And like, it's okay to feel hopeless. Like, acknowledge that and say, okay, that's how I feel. But guess what? just like that guy in the woods. You're in the middle of the woods right now. You're in the middle of your life right now. No one's coming to save you. You got to get up and you got to finish this, okay? So have your little pity party for a little bit. Time to get over it and keep walking, right? Like, it's okay to acknowledge that you feel that. And you cannot let that consume you and let you stop. That's it, you know? Otherwise, you're not going to get to where you want to go. And that's just like the way I look at it. Them's the rules. You know, I don't make the rules, man. I just follow the rules. And that's where we're at. And I do love that podcast, 307. Chad's an awesome dude. He seems like such a genuine dude. Yeah, man, I think you nailed it with that. Like, you have to acknowledge the fact that no one is coming to save you. And you can start today. You know, like, and if today is not the day for you to start, you recognize that you're going to start tomorrow. You're going to pick something and you're going to change it tomorrow and you're going to commit to it. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how tired you are, how many times you fail, how many setbacks you have, like, recognize that if you set the goal, something that's truly aligned with what you believe and what you want and what you feel inside of yourself, and you're going to make that happen no matter what, right? You burn the boats. I always talk about burning the boats. You pull up on shore and you burn your boat so there's no way home. Don't give yourself an option out. Don't give yourself excuses. Don't give yourself that like ability to bail out. Like, burn the boats and you're moving forward. And that's all you can do. That's all anybody can do. Right. And if you are able to help other people do that along the way, I think that's the point of life. Right. Help other people improve their lives and get to where they want to go. That's what's going to help you as well. So lead by example. That's always what I talk about. Like, lead by example and people will follow. People will see it and be like, maybe I could do that too. And if you help one other person in this life, in this existence, to recognize that they have that personal power, maybe that person shows one other person and then one other person and one other person. And that just goes down the line like that. And it's like, okay, now you living a good life has changed 10,000 lives. You don't even ever see it, but you're putting good out into the world to make the world a better place. I know it sounds cheesy, but man, that's how I feel.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're right on the money with that. And I completely agree. And I guess I'll leave off with this. I know I said I was going to leave off on that last part, but you kind of got my mind running again, and I wanted to touch base on something else that I had wrote down. But it pretty much is like everybody wishes, like, you know, that they want to get rich, you know, but like they have like the poor people mentality of like, oh, I just want to win the lottery, right? Or they say that they want to become fit, or you know, whatever the case is, or they want to become smarter. And like, you have to realize that all of these things are actually possible as long as you're willing to put in the work. And if you stay idle, everybody is going to pass you up. So you have to continue to move. And that's why I wanted to tie that to that. You know, like, you have to get up, you know, like, nobody's going to come to save you. Like, you have to continue pushing forward, even whenever it gets tired, when it gets hard. And winners and losers have the exact same goals. The only difference between the two is who's going to quit first.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you want to be on your deathbed and say, like, I was happy with what I did, you know, and like be thankful that you like had the life that you gave. And, you know, like you can say that, you know, like, oh, I influenced all these people. Like you said, like, be an example, be a leader, and just being the man that walks like Christ is like the biggest thing, to tie everything together with the mentality of being physical fit and, you know, being like just well-rounded individual, being the enlightened athlete, you know, trying to strive for that next milestone that's in your life, whatever it may be. So yeah, I think we pretty much hit the nail on the head for this. And like, I'm pretty fired up right now. Like, I want to go do something. I don't know about you, but
yeah, dude, I'm with
like,
you.
Yeah. Like, it's just, yeah, I feel like this was a great episode for everybody, but yeah, just be thankful for what you have for today so you can succeed tomorrow. And that's this whole message. Just keep showing up, doing the little things. It all adds up in the end. Like I said, like with my personal journey, like I started off, you know, losing a couple pounds here or there. And then like next thing you know, like you're down 40 something. And then, you know, like running a couple miles here or there. And then the next thing you know, you're training for a marathon. And you know, not like a slow paced marathon either. Like, I'm trying to race this marathon. So it's all about the work that you put in and just showing up each day and becoming uncomfortable.
Dude, so that's awesome. That's
thank
great.
You for your time today, Shay. And yeah, I appreciate you for your time and stuff. Do you have any questions that you want to ask real quick or lead off?
Yeah.
With anything?
I have something I want to touch on real quick that you mentioned. You know, gratitude, I think, is an overlooked thing for most people. And the fact that you said that, I think, is really important, because when things get tough and things get hard, it's really easy to focus on the negative, and that just weighs on you more and that throws you off the path more. I think it's a skill that needs to be developed, like, without fail. You need to practice gratitude every day. You need to recognize the good things that you have in your life. Like, imagine the things that you have in your life right now that you love. If you didn't have them, how badly you would want them, right? And how lucky you are to have them. And if that's being able to wake up and look at the sky, being able to breathe, not having cancer, having both your legs, having kids, having a dog, whatever that is, man, like, make sure you truly ingrain a sense of gratitude for everything that you have in your life, because that's what's going to power you through when the weight gets really heavy in life, in the gym, whatever it is. You know, like, recognize what you're grateful for and let that be part of the fuel that pushes you forward. I think that is so important, and it's a skill to be developed. Like, wake up in the morning and recognize three things that you are grateful for. You know, truly grateful. Don't just list them off, be like, okay, here's my homework. I got to say three things I'm grateful for. Like, feel the joy, feel the emotion, feel the love, feel the connection of how powerful it is to have those things for yourself. And when you build that up, it becomes a habit, right? And then you just naturally start to focus on the good things instead of the bad things, because the mind's like a garden. Like, weeds are going to grow in the garden, and you have to pull those weeds. And the weeds are negative thoughts in the mind, right? Negative thoughts, anxiety, doubt, fear, all of that. Like, practice pulling those before they get too big, and you practice keeping the weeds out of the garden, the mental garden, by focusing on gratitude while still pursuing more in your life. Like, I think that's the two things, the two sides of the coin. Like, pursue more in your life, but recognize what you have is so valuable and so important, and be grateful for those things at the same time. So I think that's, like, a super great point to touch on, and I think that's probably where I'll sign off there.
Yeah, I heard that. Do you want to say, like, where people can find you and stuff like that as well?
Yeah, man. I mean, the best place to find me probably from here on out is going to be the podcast, Get Uncomfortable. It's on all platforms. You can find it. If anybody wants to reach out or has questions about training or nutrition or wants to get together for a quick chat on breath work or whatever, we could do a Zoom call. You can shoot me an email, info@enlightenedathlete.com. I do post on Instagram @enlightenedathlete. I have a TikTok. I just don't use social media. I'm, like, getting further and further away from using social media, because I think it's, like, highly censored and curated, and the stuff that's on there is, like, I think degrading our minds. I know I sound like an old person now, but, like, the censorship is out of control. I'm having a hard time using them, the social media platforms. I still do post podcast stuff on there and clips. But the best way to, like, connect with me is, like, just reach out, shoot me an email, info@enlightenedathlete.com, and listen to the show. And if you have questions, send a question in. I'd be happy to cover it on the show. That's probably going to be the best way to find me for sure. Enlightenedathlete.com too is also my website, where you can submit a form to either get some remote personal training, remote nutrition coaching. We can do stress tolerance and breath work training for athletes, or for chronic stress, just kind of rehab the respiratory muscles. So that's probably going to be the best way to connect with me.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Shay, for your time today, and hope you just, you know, keep going and don't stop, like we said, and hopefully you continue to influence others. So thanks for your time.
Thanks, man. Thanks everybody for listening. Thank you very much.